Tonight I want to talk to you about unity.
Amen.
Everybody say unity.
Unity.
I didn't hear you across way up there, across or wherever you are in that house. Unity. United we stand, and divided we fall. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, two brothers who lived on adjoining farms, they fell into a conflict. It was the first serious rift in 40 years of farming side by side. They'd been sharing machinery, trading of labor and goods as needed without a hitch. Then the long collaboration fell apart. It began with a small misunderstanding, and it grew into a major difference, which exploded into an exchange of bitter words, followed by weeks of silence. One morning, there was a knock on the elder brother's door. He opened to find a man with a carpenter's toolbox. He said, "I'm looking for a few days of work," he said. "Perhaps you have a few small jobs here and there. Could I help you?" "Yes," the elder brother said. "I do have a job for you. Look across the creek at that farm. That's my neighbor. Well, in fact, it's my younger brother, and we don't get along. Last week, he dug a wider passage for water into his farm, but he ended up creating a very nice wide creek in between our farms, and I'm sure he did it just to annoy me. I want you to build me something so that we don't have to stand and see each other's face from across." The carpenter said, "I think I understand the situation, and I'll be able to do a job that will please you." The elder brother, he had to go into town for some supplies, so he helped the carpenter get to the materials and get them all ready, and he was off for the day. The carpenter worked hard all that day, measuring, sawing, and nailing. At sunset, when the elder brother returned, the carpenter just finished his job. The elder brother's eyes opened wide and his jaw dropped. It was not what he had even thought of or imagined. It was a bridge stretching from one side of the creek to the other, a fine piece of work with beautiful handrails. And to his surprise, his younger brother across the creek was coming to meet him with a big smile and arms wide open to hug him. "You are really kind and humble, my brother. After all I've done and I said to you, you still show them that some things can never be broken. I'm truly sorry for my behavior," the younger brother said as he hugged his elder brother. They turned to see the carpenter hoist the tools on his shoulders. No, wait, stay a few days. "I've got a lot more projects for you to do," said the older brother. "I'd love to stay on," the carpenter said, "but I have many more bridges to build." Amen. Part one of our study tonight is United We Stand.
Right.
United We Stand. Turning in our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 11. I'll have to give you a couple minutes. We didn't have a lot of space for the references, so I'll give you a moment to turn there. The book of Genesis, first book in your Bible, chapter 11. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 6 about the Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Principle number one in our study tonight, the principle of unity. You see, if the church can catch the vision of the power in unity, there's nothing that can defeat the purpose of Christ.
Right.
If we would just catch the vision, we'd understand. See, this isn't just a study to fill in and make you feel better and fill in your time, but this is a study that will reach right into the depths of your heart. If you grasp it tonight, it could change our world. It could change our church. It could send us into heights and depths beyond of all what we've ever imagined. Mm-hmm. As Christians, a secret to our strength in Christ, of course, is unity. And its importance cannot be discounted.
Right.
Oh, unity. I heard that one before. You haven't heard it enough. The importance of unity cannot be discounted. Turn now in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. We'll be reading verse number 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the gospel, mm-hmm. or of the gospel. See, to have unity, we cannot be inward. We must reach out. We must be vulnerable. See, you can't reach over walls to unite with one another, but you got to be able to reach and to be reaching others. I got to open myself up. Well, what if they abuse me? What if they use me? The only way to build bridges is to open yourself up to be able to be reached and to also reach others. To have unity, we must be on the same page, one mind, one accord, having the same vision, the same purpose. Have you heard this before? The same goals, the same passion, all flowing in one with one another. It's like being the glue that keeps us together.
Amen.
Amen.
The church began in a spirit of unity. I want you to know that unity comes from being born again into the same family through the plan of salvation, Acts 2:38. The plan of salvation that we preach, the plan of salvation that brings us together from every walk of life, every color, creed, age, bracket. And you know, if you want to be part of the big picture, you want to be part of that family of God, you'd want to be able to be unified with your brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to come by the way of the cross.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to repent of their sins. There's not one of us that doesn't need to be baptized in
Amen.
Jesus' name and have our sins washed
right.
away.
Yeah.
And you must be filled with the gift of the Holy
yes,
Ghost,
God.
Evidenced by
I
speaking
need
the Lord. In an unknown tongue.
Yes, God.
That brings you into the family.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful to look someone in the eye if they come up out of that baptismal tank and say, welcome to the family.
Amen.
Right.
I'm glad that you're unified with me. Turning to the book of Acts, ladies and gentlemen, very familiar portion of scripture, Acts chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. Here we go. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what were they? They were all with one accord. In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Amen.
You see, unity with God is essential.
Mm-hmm.
True unity comes from being one with God. Becoming a child of God, as we've said, through repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that's your first step to be in unity with God. I want to get to know Him. I want to be more like Him. I want to be called a child of God. I want to be part of the big picture of the family.
Amen.
Well, step number one is that plan of salvation with God. See, we find unity with God by abiding with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning those you live with, those are who you know best. When you spend time with God, you get to know Him. When you love God, you desire to be in unity with Him. And anything that causes a barrier between you and God is something that you should seek to avoid. The reason is because if you are to be one with God, What pleases God in turn should please you. And what displeases God should also displease you. What would Jesus do?
Right.
I want to do what pleases him. You try that with your spouse sometime. Please don't leave your boots at the front door full of mud. Put them on the plastic mat. And you find them in the middle of the kitchen floor. Can you put the clothes in the hamper? Well, you find them stored on the edge of the bed and the post there. You find them in the closet, stuffed in because didn't have time. Honey, did you iron the shirt? Oh, I think so. And you go to put it on, you got more wrinkles than God's got liver pills. So you do what God wants. God, whatever you like. What will bring me closer to you when you talk with him in prayer. You see, unity in the church is as a natural result of our relationship with God.
Right.
We love others because God loved others. We are one with God, pardon me, so we see life and people through God's eyes.
Amen.
Turning to the epistle of 1 John. Way in the back there, 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 19 through 21. 1 John chapter 4. Ready? We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also.
Amen.
Right. Let's talk about unity within the church. Have you ever ordered an item and when you put it together, you found out that you were missing one bolt? Have you ever put together a puzzle and when it was almost complete, you discovered that you were missing the last piece? Everybody said amen, yep, and that's what it was. Understanding our place and our importance in the kingdom is an important part of unity. You see, it allows us to connect with the whole body of Christ and to do our part for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the book of Psalms, cut your Bible right in half, Psalms 133. This scripture should pretty much go up on your mirror, by your bedpost, put it on your phone. Psalms 133, verse number 1, says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren, and that's sistering as well, brethren to dwell together ununified.
No.
Oh, wait a minute, that's not what it said. In unity.
Right.
See, unity comes when we understand our place in the kingdom and do our part, as I said. Looking at the book of 1 Corinthians, let's turn there tonight. I know a fella quite well, and he always talks about, preach the word, preach the word. So we're going to preach the word tonight. I'll give you more scripture than you need. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be reading tonight verses 12 through 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 18. Are you ready? Here we go. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, well, I don't have any need of you. I don't have no need of the body. It is therefore not of the body. And what if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him.
Amen.
Well, I'm not important. You see, I took out the garbage, you know, and maybe I cut the grass, and well, we're not important. We just, you know, clean the church and Mike leading songs, or every once in a while I get to teach or preach. Well, I'm not very important. Well, I want to tell you tonight that every aspect of the body of Christ is not just essential. It is necessary in order for the body to function and to work together as one.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Now, I don't want to renew anybody's nightmare tonight, but you remember when we were renovating this building? Well, quite frankly, for some, it was a huge trial. And yet together, it was a huge accomplishment. Mm-hmm. It was easy to look at those who didn't do so much and feel a little bitter about it. But it took everyone's help to finish the work.
Right.
And when it was done, we were all blessed with a beautiful place of worship.
Amen.
That should drag out an amen out of your heart.
Amen.
Amen.
At these altars, built by Brother Wilson, Brother Holland, and others, most of us have cried away our burdens and prayed through.
Amen.
Some of us were baptized in this beautiful baptismal tank that was built by Brother Beard and paid for by the McCoys and the Williams. Brother Holland struggled over the heating vents so we could have proper heat and air conditioning. Today, we have Sister Peggy, Sister Holland, Sister Wilson, who cleaned the church, and others who helped run it. And so many more have put their hands to the plow over the years that I have not named. And the point of my sharing this with you is to point out the fact that just one or two people could have never got that job done.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Couldn't have done it alone. Right. And that's why it's we who need each other, working and moving and acting in nothing less than a spirit of unity.
Amen.
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 Let's consider the portion, divided, we fall.
Mm-hmm.
Divided, we fall. Unity is not a natural result of the flesh. The flesh is out for number one.
Right.
The flesh, the carnal mind, the Bible says, is enmity with God. Looking at the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse number 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, to the Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse number 18. Here we go. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. See, unity must be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get under my skin sometime. That person's just plain old irritating. But it takes effort and work. It doesn't just happen.
Right.
You're not me, I'm not you. Mm-hmm. When you do marriage counseling, we always talk about you'll never be a man, he'll never be a woman. Hope so. Anyhow, and you'll think about how that I don't think like you, you don't think like me. You know what God says? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So I got to be intentional about getting along with you. I got to be intentional about you being part of the family. Could you imagine? You might have to spend the rest of your eternity with me. All right. You turn back on that equipment. You listening to this Zoom meeting right now.
Jesus.
I got to be intentional. Let's look at the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Corinthians, Galatians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen.
Sometimes it's trying. My wife says I'm often very trying. That's okay. At least we're trying.
Yes, yes.
So, all right, let's look at some of the breakdowns. Discord equals disunity. Mm-hmm. Disunity comes from discord. Here's a question for you. Why does God hate discord? Answer, because it destroys unity. Discord, if you compared this word to music, it would mean playing a jarring note, the opposite of harmony. If Satan can create discord, he can destroy the effectiveness of God's people and his kingdom.
Right.
Turning in our Old Testament to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 19. Ready? Proverbs chapter 6, verses 14 through 19. Frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. Ready? And he that soweth discord among the brethren. So discord in the family. You ready? If Satan can destroy unity in the family, he has already destroyed the heart of the church. Anger, bitterness, selfishness, unforgiveness. They build walls and they don't stop with your family members, but those same walls will hinder your relationship with God. How can I walk into the church and even listening to an online Zoom and begin to sing the songs of Zion and want to lift up my hands and I have got a problem with you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Had a big fight with the kids or fight with your husband, your wife, your spouse, maybe at work, you know, you shared some not too nice words with a coworker. It's going to follow you right into the church with your relationship with God. Now, we already discussed how unity with God is the basis of everything that seeks to create and to foster unity. Mm-hmm. Remember Peter when he went over and he said, Lord, if my brother, if he trespasses or offends me, how many times do I have to forgive him? Seven times? And Jesus said, no, seven times 70. That's 490. I couldn't tell you, as a young saint of God, many years ago, how my first pastor used to call me Brother 489. Anyhow, there we go. Let's look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. So you have one more to go to 490 from Ephesians, chapter 5. Only got 75 more pages, so you guys don't worry about it. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be reading tonight, verses 30 and 31. For we are members, pardon me, of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto and shall be joined unto his father and mother, and he shall join unto his wife, and his flesh shall be one. Let's do that again. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. One flesh. One body. See, once you know that bringing long-suffering and forgiveness into your home, thinking of others and serving the other in love above all, making unity and harmony with God and with each other a priority, that needs to be the goal of every member of a Christian family. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They shouldn't have to duck every time you say the word duck. Never forget that time, quickly, we were out doing evangelism. Probably been in the church for about a year, and we walked up. It was a summertime. The guy's door was open. The family's door was open, and we got up, started going up the stairs, and the door was about three quarters open, and I heard this guy, he had more dirty words than a Chinese laundromat. I don't know how many there are in there, but anyhow, he was just cussing a streak. And we looked at each other, and I ding-donged the doorbell. He came to the door, and I said, oh, we're just here from Bethel UPC Church, and we're out inviting folks to church and kids to Sunday school. Oh, well, praise the Lord. I'm a Christian, too. And it quickly came to my mind where the devil said, you know, Paul we know and Jesus we know, but, well, who are you? So it needs to be the goal of every member. Well, it's mom's fault, dad's fault, the kid's fault. No, every member of a Christian family. See, discord in the church, Satan sows discord in the church through the following avenues. Are you ready? Whispering, murmuring, secretly passing on evil reports or complaining to others. Gossiping, spreading rumors and partial information. Satan sows discord through slander, seeking to destroy another's credibility or the reputation with damaging facts or distortion of facts or evil suspicions. Satan sows discord through a busybody, taking evil reports and spreading them by the means of gossip, slander, or whispering. Let's turn to the book of James, would you? James chapter 3. Just before Peter, you'll find James. James chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 5 through 10. Here we go. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and bird and of the serpents and the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God and even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Cursing is defined as to utter offensive words in anger or annoyance. I always go back in my memory when we talk about stuff like this to my good son. When you ignited his sister, he'd just get his eyes looking as evil as he could, and he'd kind of pull his face together, and he'd go, "You bumblebee!" And when you got called a bumblebee, buddy, you were told, it's time to go down out that door. Uttering offensive words in anger or annoyance. You see, if your mouth is praising God and speaking in tongues one minute and cursing your spouse, your child, your parents, your brother, your sisters in Christ, your neighbor, or even your pastor, the next minute, you just might need to repent and seek that unity with God that will in turn bring you into unity with the others. Yeah. See, it's sin that breaks our unity with God, and it's repentance that builds the bridge.
Amen.
I want to tell you tonight that when there is disunity in the church, ready? People become disconnected from the service and from each other. When there's disunity in the church, there's chatter and conversation while souls hang in the balance of trying to pray through. When there's disunity in the church, there are short or shallow, even no altar calls. The worship and the preaching of the word is hindered. When I don't have unity, guess what? You are as important as the next person. And I got to understand, if I have the Holy Ghost and you don't, you got a destination that I pray that I don't go to. And if your soul's not saved, I shouldn't be sitting back there having a chat. I shouldn't be just disconnected. There you are. You're trying to pray through, and I'm just taking care of myself. Don't worry about other people. I'm just worried about me. Well, that's not unity. Unity says we pull together. Whether I can touch you or not, whether it's an online service or whether we've been in a church service, what you've got to do is you've got to be praying. God, fill them with the Holy Ghost. God, give them conviction in their heart. I want them to receive the Holy Ghost. You have the opportunity in your home. If you've got someone and they're sitting next to you and they're going through a struggle in life, just put your hand on the shoulder if it's appropriate and pray for them. Don't sit there, "Oh, I'll wait until church is over." He's really nailing it now.
Yeah.
He's gone from preaching to meddling.
Right.
See, where there's no vision, people perish.
Right.
Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Grudges, jealousy, bitterness, anger, and other works of the flesh will destroy the unity of the body of Christ. But the manifestation, the fruit of the Spirit that we just studied, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance will bring unity.
Amen.
Let's look at the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 24. The book of Matthew chapter 5. It's right after Genesis. Verse 23 and 24. Here we go. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Well, how about Matthew again, chapter 7, this time verses 1 through 5. You ready? Here we go. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Mm-hmm. Let's go further. The book of John, the Gospel, chapter 13. Gospel of John, chapter 13, reading verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Let's look at casting the vision for unity. I want you to know powerful things happen when we are in unity. Did you catch that? I'll say it again. Powerful things happen when we're in unity. When there is unity in the church, online or in person. When there's unity in the church, people connect with the service and with each other. God moves like a wave. I've seen that for years, tons of times, over and over again, where the Holy Ghost just moves. You know what? Right now, tonight, God could be speaking to your heart, and he can move right where you are. He can move right in your front room, your kitchen, your office, wherever you are. If you are in tune and the Holy Ghost is speaking to you, I just felt the Holy Ghost with that one. I tell you right now, God can move like a wave in your heart.
Hallelujah.
See, when there's unity in the church, even when you're done praying for yourself, you'll reach out and you'll pray for souls. They're still praying because you know that when you unite in prayer, it moves mountains. Mm-hmm. All you need to do, you think about this. I have a brother or sister that's not saved. Oh, well, he's going to move on to the next segment. No, how about right now? If I'm praying, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to call their name out. I'm just going to ask God to touch them, heal them, give them conviction. I want God, I want you to save their soul. I want Pastor to have to warm up that baptismal tank and watch them go down in Jesus' name. Altar calls, when you're in unity, they have meaning, sincerity, depth, and they produce changes in your life. Don't go home the way you came in Jesus' name. They produce changes. When we're in unity, there's liberty in worship and the preaching of the word. If you ever had a fuss with your wife or husband, don't lie. If you ever had a fuss with mom or dad, yeah, tell the truth. Anyhow, I'm not looking you in the eye right now, but if you have one and you come to church, you feel like worshiping like you got a bad dream coming on. You had a fuss at work, and you come to church, and you didn't get it under the blood, honey. It's like pumping the well that's as dry as a desert itself. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Sorry about that one. There's liberty in worship, and the preached word, you know what it does? It touches your heart. It doesn't go over your head.
Right.
See, where there's vision along with unity in the church and among we as God's people, this is when there'll be added unto the church souls as they people in contact with the United Church are and become saved. All right, let's talk about when there's unity. You ready? When there's unity, A, the church grows.
Amen, amen.
Acts chapter 2, verse 47 and 48. You with me?
Yes.
Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. Here it is. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread, and from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Amen.
How about B? When there's unity, prayers are answered. And God is present.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 18, looking at verses 18 through 20. Book of Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, in unity, I'm in the midst.
Amen.
When you're in unity, how about C? Enemies are defeated. And everybody said, yeah!
Amen!
I heard that all across the waves, and all the cops are coming to your house. Bigger, you're screaming out loud. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 30. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Are you there? Almost. Deuteronomy 32, 30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up. Hey, that's almost a pandemic scripture. How can we chase 1,000 and put 10,000 to flight? A rock that sold us. Hey, Jesus Christ is that rock.
Amen.
Tell you what, when you're in unity, D, hearts are encouraged and strengthened. Amen. Amen, Pastor, keep on going. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, that's the preacher. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. This is a good scripture. Are you ready? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one.
Hey,
because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone, when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. When you're in unity, the world will believe through your witness. What did he say? When you have love for one another, they'll know you're his disciples. When we're in unity, the world will look, that's a church that's together. That's a powerful church. That's a Holy Ghost moving church.
Amen.
John chapter 17, verse 21. All right, ready? John chapter 17, verse 21. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. When there is unity. You see, this isn't just a Wednesday night Bible study, bore me to death. This is one of those powerful Bible studies. If you receive it into your heart and mind, it will change your life. It will turn your entire walk with God around. You're my brother, you're my sister, take me by the hand. As long as we're together, we'll stand.
Amen.
So in conclusion tonight, I want you to know unity is not just a word, nor is it optional. I think I'll say that again. Unity is not just a word, nor is it optional. You see, we must strive to be unified with Christ and others. The fact that we're unified is a witness to the world and it glorifies God, because to do so takes the power that comes from abiding in Christ and walking in the Spirit. And it puts it inside your soul.
Yeah.
Let's turn tonight finally to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, we're going to be reading tonight. Let's stand together. Verse number 6, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorifying God and glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you may be with one mind, one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you tonight, church, in conclusion, we get to that place, we grab this and understand we need to be unified. Nothing will part us. We'll have services that you never thought we could have. The Holy Ghost will pour out in such fashions, it will just blow your mind. It'll just turn you upside down. You want to get back together at church so fast. You want to get together in prayer with one another. You want to be in unity. You'll get online, on that online, before Brother Holland signs you on. You'll be on there just waiting, just to pray. The scripture we share for this year is, you got to be expecting these things begin to happen. Know that they're not. When unity explodes in the church explodes in revival.
Amen.
Would you pray, Jesus, we thank you tonight. Thank you, God, for giving us unity, a spirit of unity, helping us understand the necessity, the importance of it. That together, we stand divided. Sunday in one mind and one accord, expecting as you move.